truer words were ever spoken or sung. Please take your Bibles today and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 22. The title of the message today is How to Leave the Right Kind of Legacy. On this 15th anniversary of 9/11, we should all be reminded that this human earthly life can be over very quickly. And when this human earthly life is over, it does not matter how much money you have made, or how much praise you have received, or how much land you have acquired, or how much power you have attained. The only thing that will matter as you enter the realm of eternity is whether you are saved or lost. And as far as this earth goes, the only thing that will matter is not how much money you left behind for your children, but what kind of legacy did you leave behind for your children and for your grandchildren. From the time of the Bible, it has been the practice of parents to leave their children an inheritance of property, things, money. This is biblical, for in the Old Testament, the Bible goes into great detail about leaving and inheritance. So from the time of the Bible to this present day, it has been the practice of parents to leave their children inheritance of money, things, and property. This can be a good thing as far as it goes. But when you study the Bible, you find that Christian parents and Christian grandparents, for this is also National Grandparents Day, did you know that? Parents and grandparents should not only leave, if possible, their children money and things and possessions. They should also leave them the right kind of legacy. A legacy that will stay with them throughout their lives. A legacy that then can be passed on to their children. And if Jesus tarries, their children's children, and on and on. The word legacy means that which is handed down from a family member or an ancestor. In the earthly sense, it refers to money, possessions, and things. In the spiritual sense, it refers to valuables, principles, and spiritual truths. And I believe with all of my heart that if we fail to leave them a legacy of spiritual truths and godly living, we have fail them, no matter how much money and things we leave them. Think about this. What good is it if they are fixed for life on this earth, but they are not prepared for eternity? What good is it if they have plenty in their purse and nothing in their person? What good is it if they are rich materially and they are poor as Job's turkey spiritually? And I am afraid that this is happening again and again in modern and affluent America. We are giving them everything to live for. And we as a nation, by and large, we are failing to teach them about living for Jesus Christ and following Jesus Christ. So today we want to talk about how to be remembered in the right way and how to leave the right kind of legacy. Proverbs 13 and verse 22 says a good life gets passed on to the grandchildren. Psalm 112 and verse 6 says a righteous man will be remembered forever. This is so very, very important, because life on this earth is so uncertain and death is so certain. Life is so short and eternity is so long. So you and I must learn to use these days that God has given us wisely and not foolishly. Our text is telling us that we need to pass on the right kind of legacy, a legacy of love, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, and truthfulness to our children and our grandchildren. Let me tell you how to do this in this very practical message today. If you and I would leave the right kind of legacy, the first thing we need to do is speak with integrity. We should speak with integrity. Proverbs 17 and verse 7 in the Message paraphrase says, we don't expect lies from our leaders. And yet we get those all the time, don't we? Another version says, respected people do not tell lies. There are three characteristics of integrity: telling the truth, keeping your word, practicing what you preach. The word integrity describes a person whose life is full of honesty, character, and right living. Integrity is absolutely essential for leaders. Whether you are a leader in the country, or in the community, or in the church, or in the home, if you don't have integrity, you will not be much of a leader for very long, because integrity is built upon trust. And if people do not trust you, especially those of your own household, if they do not trust you, it does not matter how talented or how smart you might be, they will not follow you for very long. So the question is, how can you be an effective leader in the home, in the church, in the community? Well, if you want to be the right kind of leader, it begins with the truth. You love the truth, and you live the truth, and you speak the truth. The Bible says, speaking the truth in love. But a lot of people don't do that today. Proverbs 25 and verse 14 says, people who promise things that they never give are like clouds in a wind with no rain. People do this all the time. They'll say things like this: the check is in the mail. Or, son, I'll play ball with you tomorrow. Or, this is my last cigarette. Or, this is my last drink of alcohol. They do this all the time. But if you want to be a person of integrity, if you want to leave the right kind of legacy to your children, you've got to keep your word. You've got to say what you mean and mean what you say. And listen, if somehow or another we fail, and we will fail because nobody's perfect, if we fail, we've got to go to those that we failed. Maybe we didn't keep our word, or we fell short in some way. We've got to go to them as soon as possible and ask their forgiveness. You say, Pastor, do parents need to ask their children's forgiveness? Yes, absolutely. Because listen, there are no perfect parents and there are no perfect children. Parents, we can't expect perfection from our children because we're not perfect. And children, you can't expect perfection from your parents because you're not perfect. We do fail. So we have to go to them when we fail and ask their forgiveness, and then we've got to give forgiveness. This is why we need a close relationship with the Lord. The psalmist had this in mind as he prayed this prayer. He said, I will, in Psalm 101 and verse 2, I will try to walk a blameless path, but how I need your help, especially in my home, where I long to act as I should. If you will ask the Lord to help you leave the right kind of legacy for your family, I promise you, God will help you He wants to help you because this is His will for your life. Sometimes we're not completely sure about what God's will is about this thing or that thing, but I can promise you it is God's will for every parent and every grandparent here today to leave the right kind of legacy to their children. And if you ask Him sincerely, He will help you every step of the way. So we need to pray and ask the Lord to help us leave the right kind of legacy. Now, having said that, let me say this. This doesn't mean if you really dedicate yourself to the Lord and you live for the Lord and you're a good example, a godly example before your children, knowing that you're going to have some times when you slip up, and they need to know that, and you need to know that, and you need to have grace, and they need to have grace. Every home needs grace, folks. We all need it. Because they're going to see you at your best, but boy, they're going to see you at your worst. You know, sometimes it's real easy to respect folks from the distance, but it's a little harder sometimes when we're up close and personal to them. Children with parents, parents with children. So we all need grace. And this doesn't mean even if you live for the Lord and you've led them in the right way as a parent, that it is impossible for you to have a wayward and rebellious son or daughter. You can. Even the best of parents can have a wayward and rebellious child. You know this is biblical. You remember the parable of the prodigal son? The most famous short story someone said had ever been written. The prodigal son had a wonderful and godly father. And he had raised that son in the right way. But the son was rebellious. And so he goes to his father, and the Bible says, he says to his father, I want my inheritance. Now there's that idea about a legacy or inheritance. But this was material possessions. I want my inheritance now. I can't wait for you to die, literally. I want you dead. I'd rather you be dead so I could get what I wanted. But I can't wait, so go ahead and give it to me now. And the Bible says that this godly father went ahead and gave him his share of his inheritance ahead of time. And the Bible says that the young man left his father's home. And he went out to the far country of riotous living, the Bible says. And oh, he lived it up. And he had a big time for a while, because the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season, and there is. I'd lie to you today if I told you you couldn't have fun in sin for a little while, because you can. For a while. He lived it up with riotous living. And as long as he had money, there were pills to pop, and we'd say today, booze to drink and parties to attend. But then the money ran out, and the good times ran out, and the law of sowing and reaping kicked in. See, the key is get that law to work for you, not against you. He lived the wrong way. It worked against him. He found himself in a pig pen. And he said, oh, I know what I'll do. I'm going to go back to my father. And I'm saying, I'm no worthy to be your son. I just want to be your servant. And you know the story, how the father welcomed him back home and put a ring on his finger and clothes on his back and threw a big party for his son. For he said, this, my son was lost. Now he is found. And we see how even in the best of homes, there can be a rebellious son or daughter. But you know, the key to it all was the father had lived for the Lord before his son. And while the son could get away from his father, he could not get away from his father's legacy and his father's influence. And all the while he was in the far country of riotous living, that legacy of godliness followed him around everywhere he went, just like a shadow would follow you around at noonday. He couldn't get away from it. And finally, after trying to run from it, which was foolish and futile, he decided to go back home to his father. And so, if you today, you have a son or daughter who is in the far country of riotous and rebellious living, just remember, if you live for the Lord, they too may get away from your presence, but they cannot get away from the shadow of a godly legacy. It will follow them around everywhere they go. And the Bible says in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and what, when he is old, he'll not depart from it. And so, if we would leave the right kind of legacy, number one, speak the truth with integrity. Now, number two, we'd leave the right kind of legacy. We should serve with intensity. We should serve with intensity. Servanthood is not popular today. It's not popular in the home. Not popular sometimes with husbands or even wives. We don't want to do for them. We want them to do for us. It's not popular with children. We don't want to do our share around the home. We want others to do their share, not and do our share too around the home. Servanthood sometimes is not even popular, as popular in the church that it ought to be. And apparently, many modern day American parents are not teaching their children the value and the importance of servanthood. A while back, a study of children was done here in America. They were asked this question: what do you want to be when you grow up? And according to the survey, not one child said, I want to be a servant when I grow up. I know children are immature, but they're also quite honest. Not one of them said, I want to be a servant. They gave answers like this: I want to be a rock star. I want to be a great ball player. I want to be a millionaire. I want to be a beauty queen. I want to be a movie star. Not one of them said, I want to be a servant. Servanthood has never been very popular on this earth, but Jesus said in Matthew 23 and verse 11, he who is greatest among you is your servant. Many people never leave the right kind of legacy or lasting legacy because they never ever learned the value and importance of serving others. Oh, we work long and hard for self. Just like that rich farmer of Luke chapter 12. Oh, he was industrious and he worked long and hard. But he never thought about anybody else. All he thought about was me, myself, and I. People do this all the time. And the sad and tragic thing is they are investing their lives in things that do not last. Let me just share with you very briefly some things that do not last. The Bible makes it clear that there are some things that will last forever, and there are other things that are temporal. They do not last. Matthew 6, 19 through 21, Jesus made it clear that everything on this earth is temporal, including these human bodies. Everything on this earth will either burn up, rust through, or wear out, or be taken away. This is why Jesus said in John 6 and verse 27, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. Let me mention to you some things very briefly that don't last. For one thing, earthly fame does not last. This is why you and I should never waste one second of our time trying to receive recognition and admiration of this earth, because it's not going to last very long. Today's hero is tomorrow's zero. One day a man is admired, the next day he is abhorred. One day he is respected, the next day he is rejected. Show you what I'm talking about. Can anybody here today name the last five Heisman Trophy winners? Don't think so. Can anybody here today name the last five Miss America Beauty Contest winners? Don't think so. Can anybody here today name the last five Nobel Peace Prize winners? Don't think so. Can anybody here today name the last five Time Magazine Person of the Year Award? Don't think so. You see, on this earth, our recognitions vanish, our award trophies tarnish, our certificates of achievement get put in a drawer where they get crumpled up and they turn yellow over a period of time. A few years ago, Ellen and I had been to the Southern Baptist Convention in New Orleans. On our way back, we drove to Tallahassee, Florida. Going to spend the night there. And I'd never been on the campus of Florida State University. I'd never seen their big football stadium. And being a football fan, I decided to drive by. I drove right up. That stadium was wide open. And Ellen and I walked right in, right down to the football field. Just looked around. Big stadium. Beautiful stadium. And right out front was a statue of Bobby Bowden, the legendary coach of Florida State University. While he built that program from the ground up, won two national championships, numerous ACC championships, bowl victory after bowl victory, and I'm not sure where he or Joe Paterno now, certainly the winningest or one of the winningest coaches in the history of college football. But during the latter part of his tenure as the coach at Florida State, he was still winning pretty big, but they were spoiled. He wasn't winning as much, and he was getting older. So they forced him out. They forced him to retire. That's the way it is with fame and recognition on this earth. Listen, that's a waste of time. What good is it if you're on every who's list down here and you're not on the who's list up there? Earthly fame does not last. Earthly status does not last. Sometimes people want to be a big shot, to have power, prestige, and popularity. But it's foolish and futile because it doesn't last. Then earthly pleasure does not last. In Luke 16, Jesus told about a man who had the very best that this world could offer, but it did not last. Listen, you can give yourself over to every lust of the flesh like the prodigal son. And if you do, I will promise you sooner or later, eventually, the law of sowing and reaping will kick in and you will be one more miserable and unhappy person. Because that pleasure in sin, the Bible says, is only for a season. Earthly pleasure does not last. I'll tell you something else that doesn't last. Earthly power does not last. A man can be a baron of Wall Street. He can be a mover and shaker in the world of politics. He can be a four-star general in the army, a rear admiral in the Navy. He can be as the Roman centurion in Jesus' time, who said to Jesus, "I tell men to go, and they go, and to come, and they come." A man or woman can reach the dizzying heights of greatness on this earth. He may be a king, president, or pope. He may be the greatest of all earthly men. But listen, that man, as the Bible says, as all men and women will stand before God and give an account of himself unto the Lord. Earthly power doesn't last. I'll tell you something else that doesn't last. Earthly possessions do not last. Today's new invention is obsolete tomorrow. You buy a smartphone today and Apple will come out with a smarter phone the next day. Earthly possessions do not last. They get obsolete real quick. Ellen and I were in a department store. Don't shop there anymore or longer, but we were there about a year or so ago. One of our landline phones went out of the house. I said, "Well, I got to get a new phone." I walked in and got a phone. I was at the checkout line, and there was a young girl. She's about 20 years of age. She saw me. I was paying for a landline old telephone. It was new, but it was to her, it was old. She looked at me, and she said, "I didn't know people still use those things." Listen, things don't last on this earth. They get old real quick. They're things that do not last. But, listen, there are things that do last. And these things are the things that you and I should invest our lives in so we can leave the right kind of legacy. Let me mention some things very quickly that last forever. For one thing, truth lasts forever. And the specific body of truth that I'm speaking about is the Word of God. Matthew 24 and verse 25, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." And in 1 Peter chapter 1, 24 and 25, the Bible says, "The grass withers and the flower falls away, but the Word of the Lord endures forever." Listen, opinions come and go, fashions come and go, philosophies come and go, things come and go. And yes, even people come and go, but truth does not come and go. Truth, real truth, you see, does not change. It doesn't matter what the world is telling you today. Truth is truth and will always be truth because it is the Lord God who ordains truth and not man. Now, man tries to do that all the time. Man tries to tell you what is right and what is wrong, and foolish is the person who listens to man. In Romans chapter 1, the Bible describes those people who try to turn the truth of God into a lie, and they commit the sin of idolatry. In other words, they set themselves up as the judge and jury. And the Bible says they worship the creature. That is, they worship themselves instead of the Creator. And many times, people fall right into it. A young person will go off to college. And, this brilliant person is going to tell them this or tell them that. And they're wanting to hear it. And they fall right into it. And they are tricked and deceived. The Bible says, listen, that you let God be true and every man a liar. You stay with the Word of God and you'll never be tricked or deceived. Truth lasts forever. I'll tell you something else that lasts forever. Love lasts forever. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, "Whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. But not love," because notice verse 8 also says, "Love never fails." And in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 3, the Bible says, "And now abides faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Isn't that an amazing statement? Notice the Bible says, on the one hand, love is greater than faith. You heard me say many, many times this pulpit that faith is the crown jewel of the Christian life. Faith is how we're saved. For by grace you're saved through faith. Faith is how we live the Christian life. Romans 1 says, "The just shall live by faith." Faith is how we walk with God. 2 Corinthians 5, the Bible says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith's crown jewel of the Christian life, and it is staying committed to God even when situations, people, circumstances tell you to do otherwise. But love's greater than faith, the Bible says. Why is that? Because one of these days, faith becomes sight. We get to heaven. Paul's talking about the eternal state there in 1 Corinthians 13. We get to heaven. And faith becomes sight. Then he says, love is greater than hope. Hope's very important. Without hope, you and I will die a little bit every day. Hope is very important. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the second coming of Jesus is our blessed hope. You got to have hope, folks. And that is a covenant expectation that God will have the last word in your life, and that word will be a good word. That's hope. But one of these days, hope becomes reality when you get to heaven. You're in that place where there's no more lying, crying, sighing, or dying, and hope becomes reality. But whereas faith will become sight and hope becomes reality, in heaven, let me tell you something, we are going to continue to love, love, love throughout eternity. And that's why the Bible says, now by faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Love will last forever. So you be a person of love. You be a person who loves the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you love your neighbor as yourself. And you love your family. And in a practical sense, what does that mean to love your family with agape love? And that's the word that is used there. What does that mean, Pastor? Well, it means that any way you can put your family before yourself, you do it. That's how you live. Personal enemy number one is not Satan, but selfishness. Family enemy number one is not Satan, it's selfishness. He has no control over you or your family. So you give it to him and you manifest selfishness in some way. Truth lasts forever. Love lasts forever. I'll tell you something else that lasts forever. People last forever. People. We're in the people business here at Charleston Baptist Church. Pastor Kevin and I, we've talked and prayed. We've shared with our staff that we want to do all we can to invest the ministry of this church into people. Want to glorify God. That'll never change. We have a lot of activities, but we want to do a better job making disciples. Because Jesus' last word was to the church to make disciples of all nations. And what is a disciple? It's a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. See, the Bible is talking about leaving a lasting legacy, the right kind of legacy. And with God's help, we can leave, truly leave, the right kind of legacy. Now would you bow with me for prayer? Father, we thank you so much for these who are gathered here today. And Lord, on this very special 15th anniversary of 9/11, help us, Lord, to be mindful of our future. And help us be dedicated to you and to make a commitment like never before that we are going to leave the right kind of legacy. We pray that you bless this time of invitation and commitment, for we ask it in Jesus' precious and powerful name. Amen. Leaving the right kind of legacy begins with committing your life to Jesus Christ. If you're here today without him, we invite you to do so. God so loved you, according to my understanding of the Bible, if you'd been the only lost person on the face of the earth, Jesus Christ would have still come to earth and died for you. According to the parable of the 99, if you'd been the only lost sheep, he loves you that much, he would still come to earth and died for you. That just means that if he loves you like that, you ought to love him like that. The best thing you can do today for yourself, the best thing you can do for your family, commit your life to Jesus Christ. We invite you to do that. I'll be standing as we have our invitation. Then maybe you need to come and pray here at this altar, asking God to help you as a parent, a grandparent, to have a godly influence upon your children, your grandchildren, leave the right kind of legacy. They'll be up and gone before you know it, folks. Let me tell you something. I'm a granddad now, and I know how fast it goes. Make that commitment today. Maybe you need to come join with us. Whatever your decision is, I'll be standing right here to receive you. Let's stand together as we sing.